Dear Do Not Go Gentle. Wow, this is one of those episodes that you always remember after you've seen it. Everything, from the 20s decade dance to Alaric's face at the end of the episode. We're in for a bumpy ride. Sincerely, Brigid.
Dear Do Not Go Gentle. It's not an episode of The Vampire Diaries unless there's a school dance and someone's at the risk of dying. Sincerely, Anusha.
Welcome to Dear Vampire Diaries, where today we have the distinct pleasure of escorting you through this episode of The Vampire Diaries, Season 3, Episode 20, Do Not Go Gentle. I'm your host, Brigid, and Anusha is our guest today. Hi, Anusha!
Hello, it's so good to be back.
I knew I had to have you on when we had a 1920s dance.
Of course. Best decade, best theme, best everything.
Me, myself, I might prefer the 70s, but I'd be down. I'd be down. I'm a Caroline stan. We won't be delving into future episodes today, but we will be discussing this episode, Do Not Go Gentle, in detail. You've been warned. Speaking of warnings, we have a content note. The Vampire Diaries contains heavy themes. Please check the episode description for trigger warnings and resources. You can support the podcast by going to the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, following the show on social media, which is also in the show notes, or by leaving us a great review. You can also write into us at dearvampdiaries@gmail.com. Okay, Anusha, we have two episode summaries. Who summarized it better? We both know. HBO summary says, the 1920s decade dance takes a deadly turn when Damon and Stefan realize they need the help of Matt, Jeremy, and Bonnie to undo a spell that could be devastating for everyone. Alaric finds an unexpected ally to guide him on his dangerous new path. And the Peacock summary is, Damon and Meredith plan their next move. Elena and Bonnie choose their dates for the school dance.
I love them both.
You love both our summaries equally? Do tell.
No, I mean, I think the HBO summary is more like, oh, we don't want to give too much away. And the Peacock summary is more like ironic and funny as well.
Yes.
But I think I love your summaries the best, Bridget.
Oh, you're the sweetest. I do have an entire hour and a half podcast about it, so it's not exactly fair.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the, so when I was looking at the script and I had the episode sort of pulled up, I was just like, what an incredible summary. Like, you're able to get all the scenes and all the major characters in every scene, and it's still like less than a page. And I was like, this is a good summary, by the way. You must be really good at summarizing things in general.
Thank you.
What a great life skill.
That means a lot to me. Thank you so much. You are here to breathe life into the cold bone structure that I emailed. So let's do that. Let's start off at the Michelson Mansion, where I put Rebecca in quotes. We have Rebecca and Klaus, because Rebecca's obviously really Esther here. But she comes in to present the last white oak stake, as Klaus is painting a little picture in the background, and they burn it together.
Yes. I mean, I was just about to say that this show does a really good job of always making sure Klaus is in his element. You know, if he's not like out there murdering people, he's like painting this huge, like, you know, this elaborate sort of thing, and he has his canvas and all his art supplies, and you know, he's in the mood. So I think some characters have been done really well as opposed to others. Yes. And I think we've talked about this in the past. But I think this is one of those episodes where we can really get into those themes of sort of not fleshing out some characters, especially. And I think this is a big episode for Bonnie and Jamie. And I just think that there's so much to be said about how the more popular characters are always well done. And then we wonder why some of the others are sort of left, you know, not very well done. And also we realize that the dagger is fake. So
I know, why didn't the Salvators just do that in the first place?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's so well said. Like, Klaus, even in these in-between moments, is a passionate individual, and they show that. And he says, we're leaving, there's nothing keeping us here. And she's like, but what about your painting? Won't it need time to dry? Whatever will the Hermitage do? Just kidding. She's like, what about the dance? And that's actually solid. I do think if this is Esther acting through Rebecca, she does a good Rebecca impression of like what she would care about, why they need to stay.
Yeah.
And it's good acting on Claire Holt's part because she's doing like a slightly tempered version of Esther doing an impression of her.
Absolutely.
And there is a moment where Klaus is like, we think he's gonna figure out something's
Yeah.
wrong because he like walks over to her and then he's like, ah, okay, I'll stay for the dance.
Yeah.
And she's like, good, because Caroline will be there. Hard eyes emoji.
Yeah, and I think Esther kind of alludes to this at a later stage where she says that, kind of alludes to the relationship between Klaus and Rebecca, which I was like, I don't think that's the relationship between Klaus and Rebecca. It's not that he just sort of says yes to all of her requests. It's a bit strange that Esther felt that way, but I feel like Esther is a bit out of touch with reality.
Absolutely. Or she sees something like maybe that was how they were when they were
Probably,
kids,
yes.
and then it hasn't been their dynamic as
Yeah,
vampires.
that's true. But I totally agree with your analysis of Claire Holt's acting as somebody acting like her character. It's a bit complex, and I think she did a nice job. Yeah.
She's subtle. And so, speaking of someone acting like someone else, we go to this phone call where Alaric, who is actually evil Alaric, pretending to be normal Alaric, is like, yeah, I'm going out of town. I've got Bonnie's herbs. Don't worry about me. And Damon's like, oh, that's not suspicious at all, buddy. And yeah, it is wicked sus because there's this reveal on like all the coffins are in Alaric's apartment. Esther's body is there. And, as Rebecca, she like gives him the dagger and she's like, I need to get back in my body now. And so he daggers her so that Esther wakes up and she says that the dance is where the originals will die. Speaking of the dance, we go to the gym where we're preparing for everything. And I love, so I really have to say, Elena's hair in a messy bun is my favorite version of Elena's hair.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I can only hope to have that messy bun someday.
Absolutely. I mean, I read about this that apparently Nina Dobrev had to have like a special, like she had a full routine and everything. Like her hair was really high maintenance, but it
I
was
bet.
because of her straight sort of long hair. That's the hairstyle that she had to maintain to be in character. But I really love this as well. In fact, I feel like I love Catherine's hair a lot. Like, I love the curls and the waves, and
Yes.
I really like this. And I just, I don't know if like viewers got used to this, but I didn't. I love this show when it has dances, like all the dances, like
Yes, me
the
too.
themes and the
Me
people
too.
like dressing up. And it's just like, how do you people have the will to get dressed and go to a friggin' school dance when literally like, it's
Your
so
lives are in
dangerous,
danger.
and it's like, how is everyone just like okay with like this normal life, and I mean, good for them, but I really like these dances, and I love how people put in the effort to like get dressed. And even Klaus, I mean, he's like, was he wearing a white suit? It's like, what
He
is
was wearing
this?
like a beautiful.
Yeah, I was like, this man can just look amazing in
That's bravery, a
anything.
white suit.
Yeah.
My God.
No, I loved it, and I agree. I think she looks so nice. And even Bonnie, I loved her the
Oh,
hair
I
and
know.
makeup and the pearls and the
The
dress.
boa. Ah! I know, it's great. I did think it was interesting that they were supposed to go as girl dates,
Yes.
which I thought was great.
Yeah.
But then
Eventually.
Caroline in this scene informs her, she's like, nope, Bonnie already has a date, which is Jamie. And she's like, oh, okay.
And she was like, oh, you should ask Stefan. I was like, no, why? You just had this
No.
amazing, steamy session with Damon, which is arguably the best scene in the whole show. I'm like, how are you not thinking about this? Like,
I
it's
know.
been 12 years and I'm still thinking about this scene. She's like, no, maybe I'll just ask Stefan. And this guy doesn't want to know what happened. Damon is just like not talking about it. How is no one talking about this unbelievable chemistry that they had? Anyway, I'm obsessed with the previous episode.
Me too. Caroline is just like, She does give her a dig about it. Elena's like, I didn't tell you that so you could torture me with it. And Caroline's like, what are her friends for? And then she also is like, I've seen The Bachelor. It's Stefan's turn. And I'm like, I think you mean The Bachelorette, honey. The superior version. Oh, also speaking of Caroline, I love when she looks at Jeremy and Matt and she goes, what are you doing? You're not supposed to hang
Hang
them. They're
them,
supposed to trickle
trickle.
down,
Yes, I
which is
love it.
giving very like, it's Leviosa, not Leviosa
Oh my God, yes,
vibes.
absolutely.
It's very sweet. Like, I guess Jeremy got his job back at the grill because of Matt. And Caroline kind of clocks this. Like, she's like, oh, Matt's being very nice to you lately. Oh, no. And we'll see her have a little moment with him later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess this talk kind of convinces Elena to ask Stefan to the dance because she does call him. And he answers her call, twirling his journal in the other hand, as if to signal to us that he is season one Stefan again. It's all very season one vibes, like the way
Yeah.
it's shot, their facial expressions. It's trying to bring back Stelena. You know, that's what they're trying to do.
This is what the show does, you know. Every time we get like a good hit of one of the couples, it's like, oh, we don't want you to get your hopes up. And then they
Right.
immediately switch to building the chemistry in the other side of the triangle. And I felt like in the
Right.
beginning I didn't quite catch this. And now it's like it's very predictable at by this point. Oh yeah, of course, you all like traveled and had a moment and no one's gonna talk about
Yep.
it.
Now the pendulum swings.
Exactly.
And that pendulum's name is Damon. And he comes in and he's like, I'd get her our gardenia corsage. And it's so funny because I looked up because flowers have meanings. And when you give someone a gardenia, it can mean secret love.
Oh.
Or I think you're lovely. That's what the internet told me. Anyway.
Okay. Maybe
Yeah.
Damon should get her a gardenia corsage.
I don't know, it's not so secret anymore. But we go to the Mystic Falls Hospital where good on Damon. He's bringing other people into what's going on instead of just
Yeah.
putting a plan right into action, and he tells Meredith all about, you know, Alaric's suspicious behavior, so they're both obviously rightfully concerned because what's happening in the meantime at the Mystic Falls graveyard, but Esther brings Alaric to the scene of the crime where Klaus murdered her. And for some reason, I guess that marked the spot. Well, it kind of makes sense. I guess like this show has done that before with 100 witches that died, and then
Yeah.
that because of their horrific deaths, like that spot just got like a lot of magical energy.
Yeah, and you can draw on the power. And actually, I've made a
Yeah.
note as well on this. I said in my notes that it's a nice play on the rules. So I think
Yeah.
something that I've sort of said from the beginning on this show is that I really like how the writers are constantly building on the set of rules in the supernatural universe. And this is like a really creative interpretation of the rules. So the ring is supposed to sort of help supernatural beings come back from the dead, right? And so if and so this is a way to sort of tie Alaric to the supernatural universe. So like the tying the ring to the stake is what makes the stake kind of indestructible, you know? And I felt like that was really interesting how they kind of built on the rules, and it's understandable, it makes sense. It's just one of those
Yes.
little things that I feel like shows that the writers of this show have like really good attention to detail. At least, you
Yeah.
know, this is still one of the better seasons when it comes to the writing.
Definitely. I think that you're totally right about that. It is funny to me the way it's shot. It's like the ring turns into like a dipping sauce for the steak. You know what I mean? It's a
The
little
spring roll that is the dagger.
bit weird. Exactly. Delicious. I love my steaks indestructible, with some garlic on the side. All right, so we go to the Gilbert house. We get to see Stefan and Elena in their 20s garb, and it makes me wonder if he's having like any flashbacks or if this is a little traumatic for him because this decade was like not a good time for him. But you know, he's able to be really lovely with her. He does give her a gardenia corsage, it's straight up our gardenia corsage.
This whole sort of decade dance, especially the 1920s, and all of this was just like such a high school dream of like me
Yes.
and my friends. We didn't have
Oh.
something like this, but then we organized something of like on our own, like not, it wasn't like an official school thing. But I don't know, I always looked at American shows and I was like, wow, like what a nice thing. Like, how did this idea of having a social or a dance even come into the situation? Like, how is this a thing? You know, like this was
Totally.
when I, part of why I loved this show when I was younger and when I was watching it for the first time was because it was like all the best parts of high school magnified. You know, like your
Yeah.
friends and then everyone that
Yes.
they're seeing, and like everyone's just
Yes.
together in this dance and there's music and nobody cares about their GPA or like going to college and all the teachers,
Classes.
like no one knows about the
Except for
teachers.
Jeremy Gilbert, for some reason, who is always failing everything.
Yeah, and it's just like, damn, I really wish I had this dance. And so when I was in college, when
Yeah.
I was in the, like it was the first year of college, a bunch of us who really wanted to have like a dance, and we, because many people just never had that, we had like this masquerade themed kind of welcome dance for like the first years of at university, and it was just so much
That's
fun.
awesome.
And I never actually said this out loud, or like I never discussed it with my friends, but I think the inspiration behind the masquerade was actually my imagination of the Vampire Diaries.
Totally. That
Anyway,
makes so much
sorry,
sense.
this
What was
was
your
like,
what did you dress up
this
as?
is
Like,
so
what was your
unrelated to
masquerade?
the
Yeah, no, I
podcast. I'm
love
just
it.
like,
What was your garb? What did you dress up as?
I had a very Elena inspired dress. It was like a sweetheart neckline, black dress with
Amazing.
like lace neck and like lace sleeves, and like a nice silver sort of like very elaborate Venetian mask. It was so nice. We still have pictures on
Amazing.
Facebook. It just sucks that nobody uses Facebook
Oh
anymore.
my God. You are not the first person to say that they've had an Elena-inspired dress. Diana, who was on this podcast, said that her wedding dress was like bl black and gold inspired, or like her wedding colors were black and
Oh
gold
my
inspired by the
goodness.
Elena dress at the Michelson Ball.
Oh my God. Fast forward to my 29th birthday a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I dressed up. So I did like a Catherine inspired look. In fact, on
Oh my
my
God.
on the Vampire Diaries poll that I do on Instagram, I actually posted a
Yes.
picture of myself with sort of the slinky deep neck kind of halter
Yeah.
peach dress with like a full Catherine inspired like curls and like the winged liner and everything. And then it was Catherine on the other side and I was like, who wore it better? And obviously my friends and followers
We're
voted
like
me, but probably
you.
the rest of the world would have been like, who is this person?
To your point earlier, Stefan is like, it's so dangerous. We have like a bad history of school dances, and she says, "Well, we have to live our lives despite how dangerous it is,"
Yeah.
essentially. And he goes, "Who gave you that terrible advice?" And she says, "Some guy I used to date said it once or twice."
I mean, it's ironic, but it's true.
It's true.
Bad advice and some guy she used to date.
You're so
Was
savage.
before she kissed Damon.
Well,
So
oh my goodness, Anusha, we go to the ninth big event of season two, the 20s decade dance itself. A teenagers are a doin' the Charleston, a bunny hoppin', and a disco ball. That's the only leftover touch from Caroline's 70s planning is a twirling in defiance. I just love that she like sent the chandelier away at the very t the beginning of the episode. And
yeah.
this is like good props department that they noticed that would still be there, that the disco ball is still there from the 70s planning. So good.
I feel like I'm so, you are just on top of it. Like I'm not even surprised that you brought this up. Like you are so impressive when it comes to like all the details. No, I don't think I noticed it, honestly, but now that you mention it, yeah, actually.
That's a little bit of Caroline hanging in the background. And speaking of Caroline, she goes over to Matt, and this is that warning that we
Yeah.
alluded to earlier about him not getting too close to Elena or like falling in love with her. And she says, "I'm just looking out for you because sometimes the people who love Elena get caught in the crossfire." And we zoom in on Bonnie.
You know, I find it a bit ironic that the writers would actually get Caroline to say this, but they're completely oblivious to like how they treat certain characters.
Right.
You know, I'm like,
Or they aren't oblivious and they're not fixing it.
yeah, I mean, maybe. I hope not. I don't know which is worse.
I don't know. I think that they do have a sense because remember when they like made Bonnie not talk to Elena for a while because she's like, I always get hurt. They know. They know. And
Yeah,
then they didn't fix it.
that's true.
But who's walking into town singing Luck Be a Lady Tonight? But our dear old friend and resident annoying hybrid, Tyler Lockwood. And Caroline almost goes ballistic. She sees Tyler and she confronts him about why he's there. He's totally there because he's jealous of Klaus.
Yeah.
But he says he just wants to sweep her off her feet and pretend to be sired if he sees Klaus, because that's a good plan.
Yeah, when I was watching this episode, I was like, of all the men that Caroline has been with, I don't know why. I feel like Tyler is just up there in terms of the most annoying guys that she's
Agreed.
been with. Like, even now, I mean, he has
Yeah.
allegedly broken the Sire bond, but why is he not like likable?
Yeah. And we get a reminder later on when we see Klaus of like what happened, like when Tyler bit her.
Yeah.
And like even way before that, like he was going to like let his werewolf friends torture her. Like
Yeah.
all of that stuff is very not okay.
Yeah, and he just sort of his character really exemplifies this issue that we see where many characters don't like to deal with their issues in a healthy way. Like they just run away and go to the Appalachians and then have to deal with things on their own. And then they come back and
Right.
then expect everyone to just accept them. Like this
Right.
guy literally just left a letter to his mom before he left. And then now he's
Yeah.
just back being like, oh, yeah, like he turned 100 times and now he feels like he's done everything. But what about everyone else? They were so concerned about you. Like you should have. Anyway, whatever.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on the same page about Tyler fucking Lockwood.
Yeah, I just I it seems to me that the writers did like Tyler and they wanted to
Yeah.
give him like a solid storyline and they didn't I don't know, I don't see his character arc develop. I don't see much of
I
you
agree.
know, it's like he's just there in like every season. He like he's away and then he's back. He's away and then he's back. It's like
Yes.
where's the transformation, you know, the actual transformation, not like him becoming a werewolf. Anyway.
Yeah, where's the competition? Like,
Yeah.
where's the true? No, 100%. Well, meanwhile, we go over to Stefan and Elena, who are arriving, and immediately she's like, teach me some moves. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe you can ask the dance choreographer that obviously helped all the extras learn
Yeah.
1920s moves to teach you some moves, Elena. It's just hilarious. Like, I know teenagers in high school, except maybe if you went to Hogwarts and you were like trained by Professor McGonagall, like, no one gets to learn how to do old-fashioned timey dances. I just love Mystic Falls so
Same. Yeah. Everyone just has all of these clothes and accessories and the time
Yeah.
and the willingness to just do all of this.
Right. And the only time that anyone mentions anyone knowing moves is Bonnie later when she's like, Jamie, you know the Bonnie hop? Like, what
Yeah.
the hell? But almost immediately after them arriving, we get like this slow dance music for Stefan and Elena. And instead of talking about each other, they do notice Bonnie. And
Yes.
it's a good moment where Stefan is like, I should apologize to her. And
Yeah.
Elena's like, yeah, you should. We all should. Bonnie,
Yeah.
we also like officially apologize to you for being stuck in this show and the way that it is.
For the last
Didn't
three
have to be.
seasons.
For the last 3 seasons and another few
Yeah.
upcoming. And then Elena changes the topic to Damon and she tries to tell Stefan all about that Denver trip, and he says he doesn't
Doesn't
need to
need to
know.
know. Yeah.
Yeah, which to be honest, I get it. Like, he's tortured enough.
I know. I was okay. So I've sort of made a note on this as well because I was like, of course, if you're in Stefan's position and you like Elena and you're like, you know, I don't think this is the time. I don't want to hear about it. But it's also like, how, like, I don't know. It's just you live with these people. Your lives are so intertwined. You're
Yes.
at this dance and he's so good. He's like, oh, he's just honored to be her date tonight. That's such a lovely sentiment. Like he respects that she might be in different states of mind. I think it's very like he's has a lot
Yeah.
of empathy, but I just
Yeah.
feel like what about aren't you wondering like what happened?
Oh, yeah.
And also like come on, I mean for Elena like she's just She was fully in the moment with Damon, and then she just calls Stefan, and now she's trying to tell him, and he says no. She's like, okay, let's just like have our moment now, you know?
Right.
Like, don't you like, aren't you desperate to like get figure this out? I mean, how are you in
Yeah.
like, it's like constantly being in the talking phase with like two extremely attractive brothers. I don't know.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is major
Yeah.
bachelorette
Anyway.
vibes for sure. Like they're trying to stave off how she really feels until the season finale. It's exactly like the
Yeah. Anyway, but it
bachelorette.
is what it
Well,
is. And then.
speaking of our third part of the triangle, Damon, he shows up after Stefan dips Selena in his arms and twirls her around, and he says, "We three need to talk," which I love.
Oh,
It's a great
love
line.
that. Love that.
You know who doesn't love it is Jeremy. So Jeremy tries to go off and pursue them, but he bumps into Bonnie and Jamie, and immediately Bonnie is like, "Why are you still wearing a ring? Like, you know what that means." And Jeremy's like, "Yeah, I'll stop wearing it when my sister stops hanging out with vampires. Excuse me."
Fair
And
comment.
Jamie immediately picks up, he's like, "Ex-boyfriend." So in the hallway, Damon is filling them in. He's like, "Alaric's not taking his herbs. Like, I think that we should just take him out," essentially, which is Damon's, you know, to be fair, it would prevent a lot. But Stefan is like, "Oh, I don't know. I'm old Stefan again. I'm against killing. Maybe we
Yeah.
can compel him." And Damon's like, "What? Compel him to be himself? He's going after Elena, dude."
Yeah.
And as with all perceived threats of Elena, he must die. And Jeremy hears this and he's like, "We're not killing Alaric." And he's all upset and he leaves. Elena follows him, and we go to the outside of the high school where they have this talk where she tries to calm him down and she's
Yeah.
like, "No one's gonna hurt Alaric." But then, before they can really finish that conversation, Esther appears in all her Karen glory. And she's like, "If you wish to help your friend Alaric, I suggest you come with me. Except you have to. It's not a suggestion. By hook or by crook, you will come."
You did such a fabulous like
Little Esther voice. I can't like Karen her up anymore because she's already so posh. Like I
yeah.
can't like make her more Karen than she is. You know what I mean?
No, it's that was so good. That was really
Thank
good.
you. Appreciate that.
But you know, so in the previous scene where Damon's like, "Oh yeah, like you should just kill Alaric," I felt like
Yeah.
go it goes back to your point of like it's giving very season one where Damon's solution to all the problems is just
Yes.
to like get rid of them. Yeah.
Just kill him. Why is Elena always like, "Okay," like whenever she sees Esther, she's just like, "Oh, sure, I'll go visit her on my own
Yes.
at this dance." Like every time Esther shows up, she doesn't question it. It's kind
Exactly.
of weird.
Yeah.
And that's convenient for Esther, I guess, because Stefan and Damon arrive too late to find that they can't follow because there's that circle of salt around the school
And I
and
was
they can't
just
get out.
like, can you imagine if it was real? Like, imagine just this somebody just like putting salt around the whole school. And it's like, doesn't this raise any
Take
strange
forever.
flags for you guys?
Having to stop by the grocery store like five times, like, "Oh, we only made it halfway through. Alaric, can you make another run to the supermarket, please?
Yeah.
Get the big one this time. The big one."
Yeah, and it's like nobody, people just have no awareness in this show. Like it's just only the main characters who are like, "Oh yes, the salt." You know, it's like no, nobody else has noticed. Everyone's just going about their life. There's like this mysterious middle-aged woman who's no one has seen before, but she is apparently just there now. Yeah.
There,
Oh
yeah, that's
my
so true.
God. And I was like, also, if you're in, I don't think the others would probably know that it's salt. I wonder if they would like think that it's some sort of drugs. And I was just like, there are so many questions that I had.
Someone's got a big leak in their pocket. Yeah. Look
This
at
is
all this
a lot. Yeah.
cocaine.
And
Yeah.
where's the school? Like, where's the principal? Where are the teachers? Shouldn't they should be really
We're the
concerned.
chaperones.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh my
I
God.
know. Nope. But instead, we have to leave everything to Bonnie to solve, as always. Like, she's in Alaric's
Everybody
classroom.
stay within the circle of cocaine.
Yeah.
Students.
Bonnie does get a little moment of something, but it's a crumb. She's alone with Jamie in Alaric's classroom, and it's very sweet. She's like, "You've got moves." And He's like, thanks, this random adult in a witch's hat came up to me and taught me a bunch of moves from the 20s. They have a little moment, and Bonnie gives him like a little like feel you out kiss. And then she launches herself on him. And it's really nice to see Bonnie have something with someone literally other than Jeremy.
Yeah, it's really nice. And she went for it. She kind of made the move, I guess. It's not that clear. But yeah, I was really happy that she has this love interest.
Yeah. And someone that knew her mom so well, because I can imagine wanting, or I don't know, it's complex, but I can imagine wanting someone that understands what it's like to lose Abby, you know, maybe, you know, the same amount. So that's someone that can understand her pain right now.
Ugh. Yeah.
But like with everything in this show, we can't have nice things because Damon interrupts and he says, sorry to spoil your 7 minutes in heaven. We have a problem. And the problem is Esther. And so we go to the graveyard where Esther is explaining how she's going to turn Alaric into a vampire and reveals that she's been grooming Alaric on the other side every time he passed out, that she wanted him to become a vampire hunter. She's been there like whispering to him, which is so creepy. She says, for one final time, I'm going to tap into the dark magic I used all those years ago. And it sounds a lot like a drug addict being like, well, this is my last pill, my last hit, my last shot. It's like, you want to end vampires by creating another vampire? Like, you're not off to a great start, honey. I'm sorry. This is how it happens.
Yeah, there was something really not balanced about the character of Esther. Like, she seems very...
Yeah. She's on that two-dimensional...
I don't know. It's like she doesn't really...
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't seem to have the kind of depth as, like, you know, the mother of all originals. Mm-hmm. Like, you would think she has more wisdom than just this. But, yeah.
Apparently not. Well, we go back to the dance. Klaus intercuts and is, like, going to dance. Yes, you have thoughts. I see it. I see
Love
the thoughts.
The scene.
Tell me.
So first, I just love that Klaus is just always shooting his shot. Like, he doesn't care. Like, it's not going to work, but he's going to try. You know, he loves, I think he just likes to court Caroline. Like, he just enjoys it. And I think that's why, like, he's doing it. And I love these kinds of scenes. I just think that Joseph Morgan, like, every time he's in the scene, you have this insane depth that he brings as a stage actor. It's so different. Like, I see him very differently from the other actors, and a lot of them are really good.
Yeah.
But he brings a certain depth.
He really does.
I sometimes like to study his scenes, actually, even though I am not an actor, and I just feel like you can learn a lot from the way he pauses and the way he speaks.
No, I would watch this man do anything. I want to see this man do Shakespeare. I'm sure he has.
Yeah.
I love his little I won't bite line.
I love that.
What a good reminder. It's a shadow of a threat.
Yeah.
And it's passed between them of like, you know, that this is what has happened to you from being with Tyler. But also it's his fault. So it's a little weird. But...
Yeah. And it was a bit elitist, right? Like, so it's all, it's very clear that the originals are, you know, they're being projected as like a very sophisticated family. But then in that scene, he kind of tells Caroline, he's like, you know, I know that the small town boy and like all of this life isn't for you, right? And Caroline has kind of told him many times that she's not interested in him and that she likes Tyler and she loves her life and this is where she is. And so I just feel like there is a bit of a, as much as I love the classes. Relationship, I like the chemistry between Joseph Morgan and Claire Holt, but I do feel like Klaus's character has an element of being patronizing when it comes to Caroline. Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to show you the world because you haven't been anywhere. And, you know, and it's like, it's a bit strange.
Classic little rich boy, which is interesting because she kind of has a type because she was sort of shitty to Matt back in the day about being a dishwasher.
Yeah, exactly.
And she likes Tyler. Tyler is the mayor's son.
Yeah.
Klaus is one of the oldest, richest vampires. She does kind of have a type, and you can see it. Candace Akula plays it very well on her face of that that conflicted thing of like, ooh, he's kind of right, and I kind of hate that about myself.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're
Yeah.
spot on. And I don't know if you, okay, I don't want to bring this up. I don't want to get into it too much, but what
Yeah.
you just said about her having a type, she
Yeah.
alludes to it later in the show.
Oh, great. Oh, I'm
Yeah.
so. Oh, that's a good teaser.
Yeah.
I love self-awareness from Carolyn.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Speaking of awareness, Klaus has realized by now that Rebecca's not here. So he walks outside the school and he's like, he's leaving her an angry voicemail. I'm sure one of the billion angry voicemails he's left her over the years.
I
But
think
he's
he
like,
loves
Rebecca.
voicemails. A lot of
Yeah, he
his
does.
epic scenes are him leaving people
Leaving
voicemails.
people's voicemails.
He can't be bothered to wait till they answer the
No, he's gonna just scream at them through the
Yeah.
phone. He's like, Rebecca, I'm only here because you asked me to come to this stupid dance and now you're not even here. And then he looks down at the salt and he goes, what's this? And Stefan is like, it's yo mama. Yo mama's back. So immediately we go to Alaric's classroom where Bonnie, like, cut immediately to Bonnie trying to solve their problems. She's chanting away. As if that's not good enough, Klaus, for the millionth time this season, starts to try to, quote, incentivize Bonnie to hurry up by threatening Jamie. And Stefan talks him down. Stefan is like, oh, come on, Klaus. She doesn't care about any of us. Like, if you kill him, there's no one else here that she doesn't want us to get out of here. Like, fuck you, essentially. And it does calm Klaus down a little bit.
Yeah, and I was just like, why are you threatening Jamie? I mean, he's
Because she's
like,
there with him, I guess. Yeah.
yeah, and I don't know. I just feel like Bonnie is so much deeper than that, and you don't
Yes.
have to threaten Jamie. Like,
No. She literally said to Jamie earlier, my friends are everything to me.
I hate when Klaus kind of threatened him. I was like, immediately, no. Like, immediately. I was just like, so unnecessary, so like such a disproportionate reaction,
Yes.
and completely
Yes.
avoidable in terms of a storyline as well,
Yes,
like not necessary.
absolutely. Didn't need to happen. No,
Yeah.
it literally only happens to show us that Stefan is like the gallant, chivalrous guy who
Yeah.
will stand up for people now. That's the only, it's like in service to his character being,
Yeah.
quote, redeemed. That's why it happened. And we threaten another
Yeah.
blackmail character. Yeah.
Exactly, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Anyway.
inside the mausoleum, speaking of threatening people, Esther is lighting candles and Elena is trying to convince Alaric that this isn't who he is. And he says to her, actually, you only knew my false self because, like, he's like, you only knew the part of me that's weak and started befriending vampires instead of killing vampires. And Esther does this spell to like split Elena's hand open, and so that she feeds Alaric her blood, the blood of the doppelganger, and she starts his transition by killing him. So fun. Anyway, back to the classroom. Bonnie's getting out like a local map to try to figure out where they are, and she's starting to do a blood locator spell. I have to tell you, this is just such a side note. I think I have that exact same fake pearl necklace that she has on. I bought it on
Oh.
Amazon. Anyway, so that's a tangent. Damon comes in with Jeremy's blood, and for the first time, Bonnie and Damon are able to talk about Abby being turned. And even though Damon technically apologizes, he's so defensive that it doesn't feel like a real
Yeah.
apology at all. And Bonnie knows it and isn't like, ooh, I'll take what I can get. Like, no. She's like, fuck you. And she still tries to do the locator spell, but she can't. She says, Esther's fighting me. And
Yeah.
Klaus immediately figures out where they are
Yeah.
because of the fact that she's channeling a hotspot of power. In the gym, we get a really nice Caroline and Stefan scene. We haven't seen them together in quite a while. And I just really love this little moment of their dynamic here. It's like really nice. It's kind of a sign that Stefan's back to his old self again. And it's so nice that we almost forget that Tyler is here, sitting on the bleachers in the background, realizing that he could die if Klaus dies tonight. Do we care? No. Moving on, we go to the mausoleum where I hear what you're saying about how like it's very one like one dimensional, two dimensional of Esther, but like I do think this is a good scene that's written where she tries to play on Elena's love for Jenna. She says, "I desire a world where you and your loved ones will not suffer at the hands of vampires like your aunt Jenna did." And then she tells Elena that Jenna is at peace, not on the other side, because she remained, quote, pure,
Pure.
which is wild. How do you feel about this revelation?
So I kind of was wondering if it's a bit manipulative or if it's giving com like if she's trying to be compassionate to Elena, being like, you can at least know, like, feel good knowing that, Jenna didn't suffer, But I was like, there is I it's very complicated. Like, I have mixed feelings about this. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right on. I think that Esther very often uses compassion as both a shield and a sword. And she's able to sort of, get Elena off balance with this. And we really can't tell. I really don't think that she ultimately has. I think she's a sociopath, like truly. But
I honestly think that as well. And
yeah.
I feel like, so even the using the word pure, right? Like, we again, without going into it too much, because we learn more about the other side and things like that, this isn't the concept of purity isn't something that the show focuses on, like, in the later in the episodes. But I wondered what she meant by
Yeah,
this.
it's got a eugenics genocide vibe to it.
Exactly.
Ugh.
It's like, I don't know, she Jenna was the last one of the last to know about this whole thing, like the whole supernatural kind of infestation, And so, was she pure, or did you just keep her in the dark? Like, yeah.
Ugh.
Anyway, I definitely think Esther is a bit, yeah, she's certainly manipulative and she wants to have her way, and she will obviously sacrifice even her own family. And yeah, and even how the show ends, like, I have a lot of thoughts on that, actually, how the episode ends. Yeah, we should get into that as well.
Absolutely. Well, they get distracted in the scene. They hear a noise outside, and the noise is Matt and Jeremy, and they both have these weapons, which I'm not sure what they think they're going to do with them. But anyway, Esther sort of magics them to turn their gun and crossbow toward each other. Alaric saves them by killing her. We realize, oh, he's his old self again and doesn't remember what happened. And so they have to fill him in now. Ugh. So we cut to outside the school where Klaus tries to like recall old times with Stefan, and Stefan sort of stands up to him. And I love when Klaus says, "We are strange bedfellows, you and I." And I was like, oh, proof. I call this proof. Bedfellows. I know that it could just mean like kinship, but he says there were moments of real brotherhood of, and Damon steps in to be like, he already has a brother, sorry. And
Yes, it's
it's
me.
me.
Not to
I'm
be
the problem, it's
territorial.
me. And Klaus questions their brotherly bond in the face of Elena's choice between them. And he's like, I think Stefan will come running back to me, his big bad boyfriend. And
Something that I've noticed is that Klaus loves to make jokes around the love triangle. Like, he does this
yeah,
throughout the show, and
totally.
it's just one of those things that I feel like has been quite consistent with the writing, and I
Yeah.
find that like a nice nod to his character. Like, it's not too serious, but
Absolutely.
he's like,
Yeah.
like,
I think it's because he loves Stefan. He's got like
yeah.
a he's definitely got a he's got a stake. He's got a stake in it. Anyway, Bonnie comes out to say the boundary is broken, and Stefan thanks her, and she says, I didn't do it for you. Which is, yep, solid.
I'm glad she
So,
said that.
yeah, me too. We go to the mausoleum where Alaric is telling Jeremy, like, look, I'm not going to complete my transition. And Jeremy says, don't give me some crap speech then about how I need to be the man of the house. And Alaric is like, okay. And I'm like, oh, good. Thank God. Because we already got enough of that when John Gilbert was at home. But instead, they just have this like manly hug, and Jeremy sort of runs off. I wanted more from Stephen R. McQueen here, but it's a, is what it is.
Yeah. We've spoken about this before. We always
We
feel
have.
like there's potential for him to really build on his on the character of
Yes.
Jeremy, but we don't see him do it as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could also be the fact that
He's supposed to be young. He's
you
supposed to
tend to
be,
forget he's
yeah.
Elena's, yeah, like a teenage brother. He shouldn't, there's, it's not like he's like a deep character, but
He had writing to work with, and they kind of chose to skirt it. But
yeah.
Nina Dobrev doesn't. She does a really good job here about, like, she sort of reminisces about, like, oh, I could have prevented this, and this goes back to early of this season, those very early scenes that seems so long ago now, where she's asking him to stay and that they need him, and she's like, I, you know, this is my fault. I asked you to take care of us and to keep wearing this ring. I gave you the ring. And
Yeah.
that they just have this beautiful hug, and she walks outside with him, and we get this scene that absolutely floored me when I was a teenager and first watched it. Be Still by the Fray is playing, and we're just looking over every single face of
Oh.
the entire cast, like, and they're all processing, like, who Alaric is to them.
I love
And
that.
I think the reason why I cried as a teenager watching this is because there was so much gravity around realizing that, like, I was like, oh, we're saying goodbye to Matt Davis. Like, we're saying
Yes.
goodbye to this actor who's not going to be in the show anymore.
Yes.
And, like, that's kind of what I thought at the time. We'll see how that turns out at the end of the episode, but
Yeah.
yeah.
So the feeling that you just described, right? I had this in the scene where they play Skinny Love by
Yes. Oh
Birdie.
God,
It
so
was
much
really
more.
reminiscent of that.
10,000 times more for that.
Yeah, but
Oh
like, you know,
God.
the way that they sort of scan each of the characters, there's something so
Yes.
just so like well done. And I think one of the best
Yes.
parts of this show are the scenes where you have all of them together.
I agree.
It's yeah, I really enjoyed that scene as well, and also great choice of music. So post-production was so
Yes.
good. Yeah.
So good. And it's a tough acting
Yeah.
exercise. Like, to be like, oh, just think about someone that you know is dying. You're going to process it on your face. We're not going to give you any lines or any blocking. You just have to stand there and process.
Yeah.
That's, like, really hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, they did a pretty good job, except for Stephen R. McQueen, who I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue to have beef with him.
Sorry, Stephen.
Sorry. You know, you weren't all there for it, right? Okay, anyway, the Michelson Mansion. We go to where Klaus undaggers Rebecca, and then he gives an angry monologue over his dead mom's body, which is just Joseph Morgan killing it as always with his epic speeches. If he could have left it as a voicemail, he would have. He says, he says,
Oh
I
my God, this is like
relive.
Joseph Morgan being like, this could have been a voicemail.
Let your beloved spirits try to preserve you again. I dare you to come after me. I will build an army so big, no one will ever touch me. My survival will haunt you through eternity. You will never destroy me. My God. My God, man.
Applause. Applause.
So then we get Bonnie's house for the first time. Do you realize this? This is Bonnie's house. This is the
Yeah.
first time. And we haven't
Exactly.
gotten a set before this. And then it's barely, they're like, oh, okay, I guess we're here now.
Yeah.
Jamie's there with her, and he's like, you said your dad's out of town? And I'm like, yeah, he's been out of town for three fucking seasons at least. We've
Yeah.
never met her dad. He is perpetually out of town. But Jamie's very sweet. He offers to stay with her. She
Stay,
doesn't seem
yeah.
okay. And she says something like, protecting people is, I guess, what I do. And I would venture to say that I think Bonnie wants someone stronger than herself to hold her right now.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
he does hold her, which is, like, very sweet, but he can't really protect her. Like, there's no one quite as strong as Bonnie. It's very lonely.
I agree. So when I was watching this scene, I was thinking, she's the actual like protagonist of this episode, you know, like she's such a like she, her all of the things that she's done are so significant to you know the episode moving forward. And why should she have to be the one that's suddenly having dreams about Esther? Like it could have literally been any human that goes to The ghost to Alaric, you know, and she could have had that one night with Jamie. I feel it's just
Yeah.
one of those things that I wonder what's the agenda of having Bonnie do what she had to do, you know, like so we
Right.
see her in the scene struggling, and then Jamie's like, oh, I think you're having a bad dream, and when it's actually Esther sort of
Right.
coming in her,
Manipulating.
like, so Bonnie's having visions that, you know, she has to help Alaric complete the transition, and I was like, okay, but it could have been literally anyone else.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, they love to torture Bonnie. They love to, I mean,
Yeah.
I think that they would argue because Esther says your sisters need you or whatever. And it's just like this, you know, incredibly problematic white woman co-opting the entire bloodline of like a black witch lineage and being like, your sisters need you. And
Yeah.
it's like, really? Oh, do they? I thought Ayana didn't want there to be vampires. Esther, I mean, Karen, God.
Yeah, and because I remembered that there were episodes in the past where I feel like Caroline and Tyler had these episodes where they found themselves and they found their way back to each other, and there was a lot of shit happening, but the episode let them be. Like, they had their moment to spend the night together, and then somebody else handled the rest of the shit. You know, but anyway, like you said, I think there's this whole thing about Bonnie being like the face of the enigmatic witch line,
Right.
who are all black, because
Yep.
apparently all the witches in this
Yep.
show are black.
Except for Esther for some goddamn reason.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yep. Well, we'll come back to that, but first we go to Alaric's classroom where Elena is cleaning out Alaric's stuff. And it's interesting. Like, this is very classic Elena. Get into action, be responsible in the face of grief. You know, she says, I don't want the janitor to realize the history teacher was a vampire slayer. And I'm like, for all we know, the janitor is a vampire slayer, Elena. You live in Mystic Falls. Maybe he's just a really bad vampire slayer that we've never heard of, okay? He
Yeah.
doesn't know how to get involved. Like, he's off on the sidelines, like, which student? I can't tell. But in true season one Stefan fashion, he interrupts her sort of frantic neuropathy and he takes her to the gym.
Yeah.
And the dance is done, the gym is empty. There's a really good continuity moment. I live for this. They go through like the tinsel door, and Nina Dobrev opens it and she kind of keeps her hand up. And then when you see like this wide shot of them in the gym, they're nowhere near the door, but she keeps lowering her hand. And it's a moment that makes it just makes it so smooth. Like, I know it's so like nitpicky of me. It's always easier to forget those things than to see it through.
Yeah.
And like I've seen behind the scenes details of like Nina Dobrev checking herself on her continuity, and it's like those little moments that really do just make it like a smooth transition.
Yeah, lovely. Nice.
She's clutch. I love
Yeah,
her.
we prefer attention to detail.
Yeah, hell yeah. We got that Virgo
Yeah.
vibe. But we get this beautiful callback to you know, earlier in the episode where he's telling her, you know, there's always hope. It's okay to feel. Our emotions are what make us human. And she says, who gave you that horrible advice? And he says, some girl I used to date. Paul Wesley with that 1,000-yard stare
Yeah.
of hundreds of years of brooding.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That was a nice like that was like a nice
Yeah.
circular kind of event. Yeah.
It was, yeah. And she breaks down and she says, I don't have anyone anymore. And he says, you have me. And this is going back to their core bond is around grief.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, this scene totally, they got me. They made me cry.
Same, I loved it. And I also felt
Yeah.
in some sense that I think she probably realized that she doesn't have anyone except Stefan. And so when she said she didn't
Yeah.
have anyone, it was her way of being like, I'm so glad that you're here. And so he was just like, oh yeah, I'm here for
Yeah.
you. And it really reminded me of what sort of those season one moments where she had just started losing her family members. And he was this incredible support system. And he has always been there for her, except when he was physically incapable of doing so because of Klaus.
Right.
Even those decisions were very much taken because, you know, he kind of was dealing with shame or guilt, or he wanted to protect his family. So this is like very sort of Martyr Stefan coming back,
Yes,
I feel.
the pendulum swings.
But no, it was definitely a nice moment, and the writers They know how to swing that damn pendulum,
They do. They do. And I wish that in this moment where Elena is being held so well by Stefan, I wish that Bonnie had had like an equal moment with
Yes,
Jamie.
same.
Because like they put it in there, but it wasn't to quite to this level. And like they absolutely could have.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's like Jamie and Bonnie share the similar a similar kind of
Grief.
grief, yes.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why they couldn't have built on that. It's like they just,
Right.
maybe they felt the audience wouldn't really care for it, or the audience are
Which is
obviously more
horrifying.
invested,
Yeah.
yeah. But
'Cause
no.
that's them playing to the white teen girls, honestly. Like, you know.
There's also this strange thing about Jamie being kind of a sibling to Bonnie, but not exactly.
Yeah. But not. I know. This show loves those incesty weird
Exactly.
things. Like they've kind of got it with Klaus and Rebecca
100%. Yeah, or even, yeah, anyway, we
Yeah, no,
digress.
100%. Yeah, we digress. Let's get back to the woods where we are crying because Alaric is dying and Meredith says that she gave him a sedative and Damon says, "I offered to snap his neck and not drag it out." And she's like, "Gee, do you think maybe he'd want to spend some time with you?" And Damon is like, "Oh, okay, I guess I should go in." So he does, and I love this scene between the two of them. Rick makes a joke about the dream that David gave Rose,
And he was
which is
like, "I was
awesome.
drunk when I told you that." That was one of my favorite lines, yeah.
And they drink together, and this the acting here is so well done. But this is just such a nice moment of it's the ending of their friendship, and it's awful, and it's acted so well.
As much as I didn't like Alaric, like the more advanced versions of his character, I really like the friendship between Damon, like the concept
Yes.
of Damon having a friend
I
in
know.
Alaric, because they didn't start off being liking each other, but then they kind of grew on each other. So
Right.
that's one friendship that I really got on board with.
Same. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. We come to this moment where Damon realizes he's drinking alone and that Alaric has kind of passed out, is very, very close to passing. So he starts to leave. He goes outside the mausoleum and he sees Bonnie and he goes, "Bonnie, what are you doing? Are you sleepwalking right now?" We just see her like witchy migraine him. I love Kat Graham's physical acting here. She makes this so creepy. Like, and to be fair, like I know we said it could have been a lot of different people. She has this history of being taken over by witches and sleepwalking to a place in the woods. And this
That's true.
brings so much from that. Like, there's just so much trauma and like episodes behind this kind of thing that when she
Yeah.
witchy migraines him, like we're like, "Oh
Yeah.
shit." And then she walks over to the stake, puts it in the center of her hand, creating a pool of blood. She feeds it to Alaric like you'd feed a horse a sugar cube. And now
I can't get this image out of my head now.
right though.
Oh my
Why
goodness.
can't it be a finger? Why can't it? We have evil vampire Alaric. And if we were wondering who the villain would be for the finale of season three, well, holy shit, we've got him. I have never been able to get this image of the evil Alaric face with like the blood dripping from his mouth ever since the first time I saw it
Yeah.
on network television when it aired. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, I honestly feel like Alaric 2.0 is like, I think he's better in that character than as a regular history professor. Like, it works.
Ooh.
Like, the casting and his demeanor, it fits the vibe, I feel. But yeah, I mean, what do you think about this when she's feeding Alaric her blood?
Yeah.
I feel like there is some ambiguity as to if she's still there, like, if she's there on her own. Or is it still sort of the sleepwalking? Like, it's a bit
I
ambiguous,
think
I
she's been
feel.
hijacked. I think she's totally been hijacked. I don't think that Bonnie would do this.
Right.
Yeah, which makes you wonder, her ancestors wouldn't do this to her. Like,
Yeah.
I just feel like her ancestors would not fucking do this to her. So, it's gotta be a Karen. It's gotta be a homicidal Karen thing.
Yeah,
Anyway.
I was just thinking of like, yeah, and we've talked about this before, the idea of like when these supernatural characters are able to influence someone else's minds, whether it's through compulsion, whether it's through like just taking over their minds, there's this serious ethical issue of consent, which
Right.
nobody ever care, like it's not addressed. Like
Right.
when you when people find out what happened, they're just like, oh yeah, like this, she took over her mind, that's it. And it's like, now
Right.
we just have to find a way to deal with it. It's like, yeah, I wonder
It would
if,
be much more interesting if Bonnie was a part of it. Like, it would be more interesting if she was like, okay, I understand.
yeah,
You know?
exactly.
Well, that's where we leave the episode.
Yeah.
Anusha, who are you taking and who are you staking from this lovely episode?
I'm taking Bonnie just because I feel like
Yes.
she is,
Hell
she's,
yes.
this was an episode where she was really in the center of it. And
Yes.
I like that. And I honestly, I couldn't decide who to stake. So I thought I'd listen to you and then see if it inspires me.
Okay, great. Well, I'm staking Esther
Okay.
so we can stake her together.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
She's
I think
And I'm
Esther.
staking her specifically because she didn't learn her fucking lesson. She created another vampire. She's a hypocrite.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I'm taking Mystic Falls High because I give them a lot of shit about not looking into their teachers' backgrounds enough, but I love the idea of the decade dances. God bless them for having a great planning committee.
It's not going to be like an epic episode without some sort of a social event, you know? And when there's a
Yes.
social event, there's going to be a villain and someone dies or someone's almost dying, or you know,
I'm
it's
all
going to
about
be an
it.
epic
Yes.
episode. The thing
Yes.
about Esther is like, and I think this is a problematic side of me as a viewer, I know that when Esther is in, it's going to bring the whole Michelson family together, and I love that. Like as much as I
Yes.
don't like her, I feel like when she's there, like you know that there's going to be more cast members, and it's going to be like one of those, you know, those big
Yeah.
episodes. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when characters are strong enough to deserve their own spin-off show, you
Yeah.
and the, then they're the supporting cast, you know
Yeah.
you've got it pretty good.
So, Bridget, what is the word of the day?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. The word of the day is attenuate. Attenuate, which I've never heard before. I mean, part of me was a little bit like, oh, please let it be bedfellows, please let it be bedfellows, but it's attenuate. Attenuate is a verb, means to make weaker or less in amount, effect, or force. So you would attenuate something. So now we both have a little bit of time to create a sentence about the episode using the word attenuate.
Okay, done.
Okay, Anusha, what's your sentence?
My sentence is, the real reason why we see so many dances on this show is because they help to attenuate the horrors of living in Mystic Falls.
Yes! Oh my God. In the running for best sentence I've ever heard on this pod. Amazing. Absolutely. Yes. So I said Jamie hopes to attenuate Bonnie's big feelings by cuddling with her and staying with her through the night.
Oh, that's so compassionate and just so you. Look at me. I'm just like obsessed with the dances. I'm like
No,
so
I love
shallow, and
it.
you're just like, oh, Jamie offering Bonnie the mental health support that she so needs. And I'm just like going on and on about how important it is to have social events.
Girl, I'm all about it too. Are you kidding? We can have both. We can have
Yeah.
hugs from our emotional support people and
Yeah.
have big dances.
Yes.
Let's go for both. All right, well, that's all for Do Not Go Gentle. You can support the podcast by going to the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, following the show on social media, which is also in the show notes, or by leaving us a great review. You can also write into us at dearvampdiaries@gmail.com. I have been your host, Bridget, and Anusha has been our guest today. Thank you, Anusha.
Thank you for having me. And another point for our listeners, if you're interested to engage with our podcast, you can also follow me on Instagram. My handle is it's me, Anusha, and I regularly put out polls on the Vampire Diaries. And so if you're interested in that, please send me a request.
Hell yes. Thanks for joining us, and tune in next time to find out if Klaus prefers to use water or oil-based paints.
Tune in next time to find out if anyone on the show decides to go sober. Ooh. Because I just felt like this episode,
heavy drinking.
There's just so much drinking on this episode.
And Alaric's like, I'm gonna cut back.
And even that random scene between like
Jeremy and Matt.
There's just nothing in the scene except them taking a shot. It's just like, yes, we understand.
We are men, we drink to deal with our feelings.
And then Alaric is dying. Daemon is just like passing him this. It's just a lot of drinking. Dear Diary, I was drunk when I told you that.
Dear Diary, I've watched The Bachelor. Fair is fair. It's Stefan's turn.
Dear Diary, oh, he already has a brother. Me, not to be territorial or anything.
Dear Diary, so given our dangerous dance karma, you sure you're up for this?